The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Speaking now about a topic relating to child sexual abuse, it's therefore not suitable for young ears. So if you have children around, maybe you might want to rejoin us at about 20 past 10. A report has outlined 2,500 allegations of abuse against 884 teachers, priests and others in more than 300 religious-run schools across Ireland. Some of the kind of testimony includes words like molested, stripped naked, raped and drugged. I'm joined on the line by Colm O'Gorman, activist, founder and former director of One in Four, himself a victim of sexual abuse at the hands of a Catholic priest. Good morning, Colm.
Good morning, Anton.
Colm, it is roughly 20 years since you founded One in Four. Why do you think it take 20 years for this report to emerge?
It's extraordinary, isn't it, Anton? I mean, the report, and people are using the right words, of course. What's detailed in this is, to any right-minded person, deeply shocking and deeply disturbing. But it's deeply frustrating that it's seen as shocking. Like, all of the information that's revealed in this report was available to those, or should have been available to those, who had a responsibility to respond to it many, many years ago. There's a section in the press release from Minister Foley yesterday, who I think has done a very good job in leading this process out politically. And indeed, I think the scoping team, Mary O'Toole and her team, did an excellent job too. It's a very strong report, a very detailed report. But there's a section in the report where they list the numbers of allegations against the numbers of people. And then there's a sentence that goes, most of these allegations have been reported from the records of some 42 religious orders who currently or previously ran schools in Ireland. So most of these 2,500 allegations against 884 alleged abusers in 308 schools across every part of this country were known to the religious orders who ran and operated those schools, state-funded schools in the main. And it took Mark and David Ryan coming forward to make a documentary, 20 years, by the way, after they came forward and spoke to both the police and to the religious congregations and undertook a civil legal process to try to secure the truth, which didn't deliver. It took them coming forward to force this scoping inquiry and then for the religious congregations to hand over the information that they had on their records. That, for me, is even more shocking than the fact that systemic, endemic, vile abuse of children happened in schools run by the Catholic Church here in Ireland. We know, we've known for many decades, that the sexual abuse and rape of children is has been endemic within the Catholic Church for a very, very long time indeed, that its clergy and religious have perpetrated these crimes, and that the institution, and this is the key point, have willfully, deliberately and purposefully covered that up, facilitating and colluding with the abuse itself and covering up that for many, many decades.
Because I assume
this is another report that reveals that.
I would have thought people thought at the time that when we had Ferns, for which you were such a catalyst, but when we had Ferns, when we had Lafoya's became Ryan, when we had all of those revelations that came out now 20 odd years ago, that was the dam burst, that everything had come out at this point. What that this shows is that, and even in this report, it says, this report is not the totality. There will be more revelations now as more people come forward.
Indeed, I think the report refers to CSO figures that suggest 40,000 people may have been abused in schools run by religious congregations. An important point there, by the way, Anton, and it's a big gap in the scoping process, was that the scoping process only looked at schools that were run by Catholic Church religious congregations. It didn't look at all at Church of Ireland run schools. And that's a very significant gap. Very often, as these scandals have emerged, there's been such a focus rightly on the Catholic Church, but a real failure to look at abuse that's happened in parallel institutions where there might have been Church of Ireland run or other institutions. And I really hope now that the Commission of Investigation sets that up and it focuses on any schools that were operated by religious or voluntary organisations and funded by the state here in Ireland. And that needs to include Church of Ireland schools. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said at the beginning of this conversation, we know that abuse was endemic within that institution. We know that the cover-up and facilitation and collusion with that abuse is now very, very well established. We also know that the Catholic Church at its most senior level, at an institutional level, and by the way, Anton, I want to be clear here, when I talk about the Catholic Church, I'm talking about the institution, not the faith. Those are two very different things. The institution is a human organisation, a political and frankly legal organisation that has acted in criminal ways in that regard. But we know that that institution has repeatedly, at the highest level, lied about what it knew. I mean, in the 1990s, when I and other people started coming forward, we were described as fantasists, as foes of Christianity. The former Pope Benedict, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, who was responsible for leading out on these issues globally for the Vatican, said that the reports emerging were a conspiracy, a media conspiracy against the church. They said they didn't know anything about this phenomenon. And then when they finally acknowledged that it was happening, they said, well, this is a case of a few bad apples now. I think the way Ratzinger said it at one point, this is the case of Western decadence infecting even the priesthood. All of that was a shocking, blatant, willful lie. The first rules introduced, the first laws introduced within the Christian church to deal with priests who committed sexual offences were introduced in the 4th century. And Catholic history is littered with either scandals emerging or new laws or new processes being introduced. And from the early 20th century onwards, laws existed within the church that required the suppression of any of these complaints, absolute secrecy being imposed and every effort being made to protect the church.
Well, that goes to the phrase that you used, Colin, where you talked about systemic and endemic. One of the things that the scoping report does is it breaks down the total number of allegations per school and the total number of alleged abusers per school. And just to give some of them, because I think it goes to that thing of the endemic nature of it. The Carmelite Fathers in Terenure College, 89 allegations of sexual abuse against 11 alleged abusers. Christian Brothers in Westland Row, Baggot Street, CBS, total number of allegations, 24 against 11 people. Christian Brothers in North Mon, 10 people. Christian Brothers in Brunswick Street, 15 people. And so on and so forth. One of the striking things about the report is how many people were engaging, or at least alleged to have been engaging, in fairly open abuse, endemic and systemically within their institutions.
Yeah, many of the evidence from victim survivors in the report gives very graphic and detailed testimony about the nature of the abuse and the very public nature of the abuse. The fact that it happened in classrooms, the fact that sometimes the abuse was interrupted by a headmaster coming into the room, for instance, who then left the room and did nothing about it. But the numbers, the numbers are indeed shocking. And again, speaking to the systemic nature of that, there are, the report details allegations in 132 Christian Brothers schools across this country.
Can I ask you,
132
well?
Christian Brothers schools, including every Christian Brothers school I ever went to personally as well, by the way.
Can you talk a little bit about the impact that this has on the children as they move into adulthood? Because one of the other things that the report talks about is it talks about the sense of shame and the sense of desire to cover up and the pressure to cover up. So there's instances of little boys cleaning up after having been abused because they are afraid that their parents will see the evidence of their abuse. There's testimony of a little boy describing how the priest who abused him told him that he couldn't tell his parents because his mother would go to hell if she knew this. The combination of forced collusion in your own abuse and the abuse itself, it must do extraordinary damage to a person.
The one thing that the perpetrator will always try and do is to make the victim responsible for the abuse, because that layering on of guilt and responsibility and then shame is deeply, deeply silencing. And it's a very protective mechanism for the abuser that allows them to continue with their abuse. On another level, I mean, one of the ways I always explain this to people from my own experience was, like, when I was a child, if there was something wrong with me, my mum always knew. Like, if I was a bit off colour, if there was something wrong, or if I wasn't quite right, she'd pick up on it. She certainly knew if I'd done something wrong, I was trying to hide it. She'd always pick up on it. So at a very deep level, and I'm not saying any of this was conscious on my mother's part or many mothers' parts, for instance, even though in some cases parents did disbelieve, attack or punish their children for speaking about what had happened. I mean, we see this in this report as well. But for me as a child, like, that meant that At an unconscious level, I understood that if nobody saw what was happening, it was because they were looking away. And why were they looking away? What had I done wrong? I was also told, and we were all told when I was growing up, that if you're good, everything will be okay. Do what your elders tell you. In particular, do whatever a priest or Christian brother or religious person tells you. These people are above and beyond reproach. They are good. They are holy. They are true. They are godlike.
the construction that's created, you know, the worldview that was created for children and young people in Ireland for a very, very long time meant that when something like that happened to you, there were two options. Either everything you'd been told about the world was a lie, and that meant you were desperately unsafe, or if the abuser told you that somehow this was your fault, at least that meant that everything was still true and you knew that you knew where you were. You were able to, like, not, your whole world wasn't being blown up. This awful thing was happening. But the only way to make sense of it was to go along with the idea that somehow it was your fault. And then equally, absolutely, abusers will always tell their victims that there will be consequences if they speak out. I remember my biggest fear was that if my father found out what had happened, and at the time I used to see it as what I was doing, that it would kill him. I was genuinely terrified for most of my teens that if my dad found out what had happened, it would kill him. So there was no way I could speak. There's no way that many children who were going through these experiences, and who might, to a lesser degree, because I think things are changing a bit, be going through these experiences today, feel able to speak. We didn't have that kind of enabling environment that allowed people to believe and to speak so that they were believed. And you hear it now. I mean, the fact that many victims, survivors who took part in this process are saying that they now feel that they're believed, that says something. After all of these revelations, that's what John Coulter said to us this morning. I listened to John. And after all of these revelations, we're still at a stage where we need to do these processes so that victims will be believed. Well, why is that? And very often it's because when victims come forward, they're met by not just imperfect systems of justice or restitution or response, but systems that seem designed to silence and close down and minimize what had happened to them.
So
and that's
now,
why these
Colin?
Kinds of reports are so important.
Because as now, we understand, we have two issues. We have 20 years of water under the bridge, which means that a lot of the perpetrators will have died in the intervening years or of age to the point that they are unable to engage in a process like that, which limits the capacity for there to be justice, either restorative or punitive. So what's the best course of action?
Well, first of all, that needs to be determined. I mean, the state has very clear obligations under international law to investigate these crimes, these very, very grave human rights violations, and to hold those responsible to account. It also has obligations to victims to guarantee them justice. And that means the prosecution of the wrongdoer, the perpetrator, but also restorative justice. So reparations, guarantees of non-repetition. These are obligations that the state has. And the state now needs to hold the abusers to account, but then critically, and I think this is incredibly important, it's never happened in this country yet, despite all that's been revealed, it needs to hold the organisations and individuals who covered up, who facilitated and who colluded with these crimes to account. This commission investigation needs to look at the systemic issues that allowed these crimes to be covered up, and we need those organisations to be held accountable. I just said 132 schools run by the Christian Brothers. Like, after everything we saw in the Ryan report, after everything we've heard about abuse over the years, after all of the ways in which they have been publicly held to account and shamed in the public sphere, that's a congregation that is still doing everything it can to nuisance and obstruct individual victims who are seeking access to justice through the civil courts. It's doing some horrific things to victims. That congregation must finally and properly be held to account. I think it's really, really important the Commission of Investigation holds public hearings on these systemic issues. And those hearings are not about determining whether or not abuse happened. Those hearings need to be about investigating the actions and the responses of the congregations and state agencies to knowledge, concerns or suspicions of abuse in those institutions. That's what we did with the Ferns Inquiry. It was groundbreaking at the time. It was incredibly important. It's really important that this happens as part of this commission. And that needs to be public. That must not happen in private. It's absolutely reasonable that where individual evidence has been taken of acts of abuse or allegations being made against named individuals in a process, that that might be private and confidential. But this systemic investigation needs to happen. It needs to be public. And we all need to see those who led or are leading those congregations account for themselves in a legal context before of a commission investigation. Okay. And then we really need to consider, Anton, and I'll finish on this point, we really need to consider whether it's appropriate for these organizations who are responsible for some of the gravest crimes in the history of this state to continue to hold responsibility for educational institutions in this country and for the welfare and care of children. We really need to have that conversation. That's not about getting Catholicism out of our schools, but it is about making sure that organisations who are criminal in their actions, who covered up these crimes on a systemic level, willfully, deliberately, who continue to do so for 20 years after all of this first began to emerge, should not be in a position where they're running schools that are state-funded, should not be in a position where they're allowed access to and control over the welfare and well-being of Irish children anymore. That has to end.
Colm, thank you. Colm O'Gorman, founder of One in Four there. If any of the issues that we have discussed impacted you, or if you know somebody who you think may have been impacted by them, you can contact One in Four, 01662 4070, or the Rape Crisis Network on their 24-hour national helpline at 1-800-77-8888. That's 1-800-77-8888. We'll take a break.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.